Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, it's ammonium carbonate. Ammonium carbonate. We need to learn more about this stuff. There's a whole page devoted to over at Amazon.com. There's a dozen different varieties you can buy. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. I am here to tell you how to make smelling salts. Why? Yesterday, Democrats proposed about $25 billion in added spending in the U.S. Senate. And by the way, what we are learning, and particularly what I'm hearing in back channels from economists that I'm talking to and a couple of politicians that we've talked with off the record, is that things are a whole hell of a lot worse than anybody in the Bush administration ever let on. They've been sitting on this thing for a year and a half knowing that this train wreck was coming. They were hoping that they could offload it to the first weeks of a new administration, even if it was John McCain. That would have been just fine with George W. Bush. No love lost between those two. And they were hoping that they could offload the whole thing. It blew up earlier than they had hoped it would. But there is still, there's still a lot of worse news to come. And part of the problem is that job layoffs echo down. In other words, one person loses their job, that person is not going to be going down to Starbucks or McDonald's or the local clothing store or the local or whatever. I mean, fill in the blank. They're not going to be spending money in the local community. They're not going to be spending money into the national economy. And so now those businesses are going to have to say, well, we need to cut back. We need to slow down. And we need to cut back on buying product. We don't need as many French fries. We don't need as much beef, to use the McDonald's example, or let's say the local burger joint example would be a healthier one, fiscally anyway. So we don't need to buy as much. So the local farmer can't sell as many potatoes, so the price of potatoes is dropping, and he can't sell as much beef, and that's dropping. And well, maybe it's good for vegetarians. But anyhow, you get the point. It echoes through the economy, but it takes a while. It takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months, typically, sometimes as much as 9 months, when people have been laid off before, in the teeth of a true depression, which is what we are entering. This is the second Republican Great Depression. It takes 6 to 9 months for people to figure out that they're just not going to get another job over the short term. And in the absence of a New Deal, in the absence of aggressive government intervention, when those people finally figure it out, at that point, they've already maxed out their credit. Their credit is now a disaster. Their home is a disaster. They can't make their payments. And they basically stop buying anything. And then the economy really goes in the tank, you know, to the increment of that one individual. And I know that there are Republicans out there who are saying, oh, well, you know, the Great Depression and Franklin Roosevelt prolonged it. Well, you know, let's look at the actual numbers. And then I'm going to get into the smelling salts stuff here, because the smelling salts is not for you. It's for Harry Reid. We'll get to that in just a minute. In 1929, there were about a million people out of work. The unemployment rate was 3.14%. That was the last year of the bubble economy that was brought about by the three Republican presidents that preceded Franklin Roosevelt, Warren Harding, Calvin Coolidge, and Herbert Hoover. Those three Republican presidents passed a series starting in 1921 with a dramatic tax cut, tax break for multimillionaires and billionaires. What back then there weren't so many billionaires in the entire planet, but because the dollar was worth a whole lot more. But the multimillionaires and the hundreds of millionaires They dropped the top marginal tax rate from somewhere over 70 to somewhere under 30, just like Ronald Reagan did. And guess what? It produced the exact same result as Reagan's tax cut did. It produced a bubble economy. And Calvin Coolidge, smiling, silent Cal, he just sat back and watched that bubble inflate. And Herbert Hoover came into office. In his first year in office, he was watching the bubble inflate and saying everything's great. And then the bubble popped in 1929. And he didn't do a damn thing about it for 3 years. Because as a Republican, he didn't think that the government should do anything about it. He thought the government's job was to help make bubbles. So the number of unemployed people in 29 was 1.5 million. By 1930, it had jumped to 4.3 million. By 1931, we're still in the presidency of Republican Herbert Hoover. By 31, it was 8 million. By 32, this is still Herbert Hoover's presidency, it jumped to 12 million. And in 33, a quarter of the way into the year 1933, of course, is when Franklin Roosevelt became president. They swore in the president on March 6th back in 1933. It was at 12 million, 12.8 million people unemployed. So Roosevelt comes in, and in 33, he starts trying to do things, but he is encountering massive Republican opposition. Doesn't really get a whole lot done in 33. In 34, he's starting to get some traction. He's starting to, at least he's extending unemployment benefits. Social Security has not yet been passed. The Wagner Act hasn't been passed that allows heavy unionization. That was 1935. But in 34, he dropped that 12.8 million unemployed down to 11.3 million unemployed. And in 35, it got down to 10.6 million unemployed. And in 1936, it was down to 9 million unemployed. And by 1937, he had it down to 7 million people unemployed. Today, in the United States, as of the end of December, there are 11.1 million people unemployed. That's the same number of people who were unemployed in 1934. It's roughly the same number of people that were unemployed during the Great Depression. Now, the percentages are different, but when we're talking about human beings, I mean, we can talk about absolute numbers. Franklin Roosevelt was steadily dropping the number of unemployed people. In 1937, great year, he had it down to 14%, the unemployment rate. And if you measure unemployment the same way, right now, the unemployment rate measured the way it was measured in 1934 is around 14%. He had it down to 7 million people unemployed. But in 1938, as the election was cranking up and the Republicans were really pushing hard and saying, you know, this is too much socialism, Franklin Roosevelt went along with it. And he says, okay, we'll cut back on some of these programs. And we weren't out of the woods yet. See, the money hadn't really worked its way through the system yet. And so in 38, it jumped back up to 10 million unemployed people because he went along with the Republicans. Well, here's the problem. Harry Reid is going along with the Republicans. And, you know, as I said, yesterday the Republicans proposed this substantial increase in the amount of spending and the amount of money that's going to go into this bill. And it was substantial and it was important. I mean, this is the real thing. You know, it's important that this actually get out there. And Harry Reid and the Republicans, and they held a vote. And the Democrats could only get 58 votes for this thing. So they couldn't stop debate. And at that point, Harry Reid could have said, okay, guys, you want to debate? You want to tell the American people why you're opposed to America recovering? You want to tell us this? This, by the way, the stimulus, this was proposed by Senators Patty Murray and Dianne Feinstein. Jim Inhofe. The Republican from Oklahoma, both Republicans from Oklahoma now, Inhofe and Coburn, totally opposed to this. Why don't we just say Oklahoma doesn't get any money? Both the senators from Texas, Kyle and McCain, opposed to this. Why don't we just say Arizona doesn't get any money? You know, I realize we have a lot of good listeners on our affiliate there in Phoenix. Tip of the hat to you. But, hey, do something about your senators. You know, replace them.
We can't add to the size of this bill, says Jim Inhofe. The amount is just inconceivable to most people.
Only two Republicans supported this, Arlen Specter and Kit Bond. Judd Gregg didn't vote. Ted Kennedy didn't vote. He's rather ill, which is a whole other issue. So here's the question. How do we best get smelling salts to Harry Reid so every time the Republicans say, we're going to filibuster something, he doesn't faint? You can make smelling salts. Pretty straightforward. You mix a cup of Epsom salts with a quarter cup of kosher or sea salt in a large mixing bowl. Add 6 to 8 drops of essential oil. You can use eucalyptus oil, peppermint oil, lemongrass oil. Stir it thoroughly. You can add a little food coloring if you want. And now you've got smelling salts. Let it dry. Or you can buy the real stuff. I'm looking at Amazon.com. I just typed in smelling salts. 10-pack ammonia inhalants, ammonia caps, powerlifting, weightlifting smelling salts. This is for guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger. They do too much pumping iron and they pass out. Here's the smelling salts to bring them back. It's only $5.95. You could buy some and have it sent to Harry Reid's office. There's nose torque ammonia caps smelling salts for power lifters. There's Dynarex ammonia inhalants. There's all kinds of smelling salts out there. I know it's funny. No, it's not funny. We've got to do something about this. Why is Harry Reid not saying to the Republicans, okay, you want to have a debate? Start talking.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, Valentine's Day is next week, but you don't need to stand in line for overpriced flowers. Instead, ProFlowers has an exclusive deal just for my listeners, but only when you click on the microphone and type in Hartman at ProFlowers.com. Get one dozen sweet expressions roses for only $39.99 and get a second dozen free, plus a free glass vase. That's 24 beautiful romantic roses for $39.99. That's an insane deal this close to Valentine's Day. But don't wait, because supplies are limited and this offer expires Friday. Schedule your order now for guaranteed Valentine's Day delivery. ProFlowers roses are rated best value by the Wall Street Journal and they're guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days. So visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in my password, Hartman, or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Hartman. Using my password always gets you a free glass vase and special deals. So go to the microphone on ProFlowers.com and enter my password, Hartman. That's with 2 N's. This offer expires Friday and prices will go up. So order today.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KDOJ. 620KDOJ.com.
The Everything Green Oregon Expo will be coming to the Oregon Convention Center on February 14th and 15th. Discover your green alternatives to transportation, home improvement, yard and garden technology, and much more. For more information, visit egoregon.com.
If you need dental work, but you just can't bring yourself to go, Dr. Floyd Cash can relate. As a child, he had a bad experience at the dentist and didn't want to go back.
I was worried about going a whole week ahead of time. And I couldn't sleep the night before, and the more I went, the worse it got.
Dr. Cash runs Sleep Dentistry of Portland, dedicated to helping people who have trouble going to the dentist. From oral sedation to IV sedation, or even general anesthesia, Sleep Dentistry of Portland offers the dental work you need in a gentle, non-judgmental atmosphere.
That's what I've been doing since the first day I opened. I've tried to be the gentle dentist, mainly because I knew what had bothered me, so I was trying not to create that in anybody else.
Your introductory appointment is just $1, including full examination, any necessary x-rays, and consultation. Get the details at sleepdentistryofportland.com or call 503-405-7686. Sleep Dentistry of Portland.
TurboTax presents a message from Benjamin Franklin.
As a $100 bill, I'm in high demand. People are always trying to get me away from you. But here's one way you can hold on to me and do your taxes. Just go to TurboTax.com. At TurboTax.com, you can do your simple federal return for free with the TurboTax Federal Free Edition. And I can stay right where you want me, in your pants. Pocket, your pants pocket.
TurboTax, choose easy. Get the Federal Free Edition at TurboTax.com.
Come into Petco during Pals Extra Value Days and show your love for your pet and your love for savings. And right now, Pals members will find special savings throughout the store, including $8 off select large bags of Hill Science Diet dog and cat food, $3 off select 5-pound bags of Natural Balance dog food, and 27-pound sizes of select Tidy Cats litter for just $10. If you're not a Pals member already, just sign up for free at any store and start saving right away. Visit Petco.com or see in-store for details. Petco, where the pets go.
Medical mistakes claim tens of thousands of lives a year. Help reduce your risk. Questions are the answer. Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Isn't that great? Is that the old Tom Lehrer song redone, Louise? Do you know? Or is it an original? It's the old Tom Lehrer. That is absolutely great. By the way, I am hitting the road.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents.
Here's the stuff coming up.
No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes.
No, I quit about 20 years ago.
2 hours of pushing broom buys an 8x12 for big room. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road.
Okay, so we're going on the road. On February 26th and 27th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the Conservative Political Action Conference. On March 7th, that's a Saturday, from noon to 3, I'll be on the Royal Argosy. It's a cruise ship in the Elliott Bay and Puget Sound for our Seattle listeners. You can buy tickets over at 1090am1090seattle.com is their website. On March 19th, this is a Thursday. Hey, I need your help on this because I'm debating Michael Medved, and he's trying to get people there to cheer for his side. I need you to cheer for my side. You can get information and tickets for that over at ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com, the website for our affiliate in Chicago, ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com. Please show up. And Saturday, May 2nd, I will be one of the keynote speakers at the Green Festival in Denver, Colorado. The information for that is greenfestivals.org/Denver. So look forward to seeing you there. So I want to get back to this topic and just wrap this up for you. The tragic insanity of the Republicans, the fact that when you listen to news reports, whether they be radio or television, the vast majority of the reports are the Republicans. They are trying to conflate the very unpopular TARP bill with this stimulus package. And this, in my opinion, was a terrible mistake, by the way, on the part of the Obama administration. They need a Frank Luntz in there. Somebody in the Obama administration needs to read my book, Cracking the Code. They need somebody who understands marketing and psychology to have packaged this thing. They never should have called this a stimulus package. That's what the TARP program was called. And everybody hates the TARP program. Even Obama has said he hates the TARP program. And people just think, you know, the average guy who's only spending, 1% of his consciousness on politics thinks, oh, they want another $700 billion to give to the rich bankers. At the same time, by the way, that in the same newscast, they're talking about rich bankers and they're going on junkets to Las Vegas. And everything. They should have called this the jobs bill, period.
Nothing more, nothing less. We're going to put together a $700 billion jobs bill. They should have called it the America Back to Work bill and referred to it as the jobs bill. Period. End of sentence. Never use the word stimulus. Never use the word, you know, economy, economic revival, blah, 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 all that nonsense. It may be it's probably too late. But maybe not. And if any politicians in Washington, D.C. are listening to me or to you who's listening to me, please get the message to them. Call this thing the jobs bill at every opportunity, number one. Number two, Harry Reid. When the Republicans say, you know, we're going to filibuster this thing, make them filibuster it. A filibuster is where you stand on the floor of the Senate and you talk nonstop. And I want to hear why the Republicans are opposed to an expansion of broadband access, internet access to rural areas in America, why they're opposed to programs that to improve infrastructure and develop rural communities, why they're opposed to improvements in our criminal justice system, why they're opposed to funding for science and technology research, why they're opposed to funding for community-oriented policing services, why they're opposed to repairing, maintaining, and renovating the Department of Defense facilities, why they're opposed to energy efficiency projects and modernization of heating and cooling systems right across the board, why they're opposed to energy-related R&D, why they're opposed to funding the Army Corps of Engineers. Remember the levees in New Orleans, why they're opposed to modernizing the nation's electrical grid, why they're opposed to construction and repair of federal facilities. I think this would make a great speech for some idiot Republican to give on the floor of the Senate. Harry, let him talk. Why they're opposed to funding for clean water programs and water infrastructure projects, why they're opposed to capital improvements and maintenance for Forest Service, National Park Service, and the Superfund program, why they're opposed to funding the Department of Health and Human Services, why they're opposed to funding for labor and employment training programs, why they're opposed to renovating our elementary and secondary schools, why they're opposed to Pell Grants and other programs that help kids get to college, why they're opposed to defense construction projects, including hospitals, barracks, and daycare centers, to simply upgrade our existing military infrastructure, why they're opposed to funding the Department of Veterans Affairs, why they're opposed to IT projects for the State Department and bring them into the 20s. You know, they're still using, like, old Windows machines. Why they're opposed to funding highway construction, why they're opposed to housing assistance, why they're opposed to grants to states and cities for community development, why they're opposed to giving more money to the CAF program. These are the most efficient programs in the country, the community action programs. Why are they opposed to extending the tax credit for renewable energy production? Harry, let him talk! Somebody send some smelling salts to Harry, quick!
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2272.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hello, morning. Have mercy on me, please. My heart is breaking. Just give me a chance to breathe. The tears are rolling. And it's getting.
Thirty-four minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, your radio support group for We the People. And maybe I'm crazy, I don't know. Here's the news. President Barack Obama mulling a controversial new tax program that would require members of his cabinet to pay taxes owed under the federal tax code, the White House confirmed today. While the unorthodox tax proposal is purportedly only in the planning stages, it is being eyed as a possible way to balance the federal budget. According to projections, said Obama economic advisor Paul Volcker, if members of the cabinet actually paid their taxes, we could wind up with a budget surplus in excess of $18.2 billion. Mr. Volcker said he strongly favored the plan, but added, fortunately for me, I'm not officially in the cabinet. But imposing taxes on cabinet members may be easier said than done, critics of the plan warn. Remember, said one White House source, these people are not used to paying taxes. They're going to be hopping mad about this. Another wrinkle in the plan is how the taxes would actually be collected, with President Obama favoring a cash-at-the-door entry fee for every cabinet meeting. If they don't have the money, they don't get in, said the source. Not going to be able to just sail into the White House for free like the Jonas Brothers. When told of Mr. Obama's plan to make his cabinet members pay taxes, Senator Tom Daschle responded, "Whew! Sounds like I dodged a bullet." Okay, here's what we need to say to Harry Reid. Harry Reid, you need to say to the Republicans...
Go ahead. Make my day.
There you go. It's that simple. Go ahead. Make my day. This needs to be Harry Reid's new mantra, and we need to get it done. And by the way, I want to say, let's roll back the Reagan tax breaks as part of this. Look at the tax rates. Australia, the top marginal tax rate. Now, when you say marginal tax rate, that's the rate that a person pays on their highest dollar of income, their last dollar of income. So if somebody earns, for example, in 2003, if they earned $155,974, they didn't pay 35%. But on the fifth dollar, they suddenly jacked up to 35%. So that's the top marginal rate. In Australia, it's 47%. In Austria, it's 50%. In Belgium, it's 52%. In Denmark, it's 59%. In France, it's 50%. In Israel, it's 50%. In Italy, it's 52%. In Japan, it's 50%. In the Netherlands, it's 52%. In Sweden, it's 56%. What happened to us? So, roll back the Reagan tax cuts. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. David in San Francisco. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, hi, Tom. Hey, before I start, you were just talking about that song, Love Me, Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal. That was Phil Oakes.
Oh, you're right. It was Phil Oakes. Thank you for that, David.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
I have the original someplace, in fact.
Yeah, a friend of mine's putting together a video on him and gotten some really extraordinary old footage. Hey, you know what I was interested in, though? Right now, C-SPAN 3 is running the Bernie Madoff hearing. And as you may know, C-SPAN 3 is probably one of the least visible C-SPANs that's available.
Right. It's rarely available, if ever, I think, on cable networks. So you have to watch it on the web.
Exactly, and it's really surprising because some of the most profound hearings that both the Senate and the House do are put on C-SPAN 3.
Yeah, it's where they put all the Conyers stuff, the impeachment stuff, the Kucinich stuff. Yep.
Exactly, and it's a real shame because even a city like San Francisco doesn't get an option. You can't buy a package with C-SPAN 3 in San Francisco. There are very few parts of the country that can get it.
So, I'm not sure that there are any parts of the country you can get it. We can't get it here in Portland either. So it may well be that it's just a web-only version of C-SPAN. But there would be go ahead.
Yeah, I remember it. It is in a couple of places, but it's very rare.
Okay.
But specifically, what they're talking about, they had the panel just changed a few minutes ago, but the testimony earlier was regarding organized crime and Bernie Madoff. Mm-hmm. And this is really profound, and I wanted to tie it to Harry Reid because of his Las Vegas connections. It's beyond unfortunate that we have to depend upon Harry Reid for any kind of benefit to the nation because of the potential for organized crime controlling him.
David, I'm sorry. I'm just not willing to go there. I don't think that Harry Reid is rolling over for the Republicans because he's afraid Vinny is going to come break his knees.
It's not a Republican-Democrat issue. It's organized crime, and that's what's coming out in this hearing. It's not a political issue. This is organized crime that's running things.
Right, but I'm talking about is politics here. The Republicans say, we're going to filibuster, and Harry Reid needs to say, go ahead, make my day, go ahead and filibuster. And in the absence of any evidence at all that Harry Reid has been compromised, I know I've gotten a lot of emails from people, frankly, saying that they think that the reason why he's doing this is because he's been somehow compromised, somebody's got something on him, something like that. I don't think it's that. I think it's just his constitution. I think he's a nice guy, and he believes in the congeniality of the Senate. Harry, it's time to stop that. Bruce in Detroit. Hey, Bruce, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. I just wondered... I know this is not an original idea, but it seems like there might be a way. Instead of giving all this money to the banks and letting them spend it, why can't we take $300 billion? I don't know what it would work out to. I'm not good at math. But give that, divide it up by 100. I looked up, there's 103 million families in this country. Why can't we take that money and give it to the families, let them pay their mortgages, buy cars, whatever we do, and get consumer spending going again instead of giving it to these greedy people on Wall Street that use it, that waste it on corporate parties and everything else like that.
Well, if you give $100 billion to 100 million people, that's $1,000 per family. that's going to do nothing. I mean, you know, that's a small blip. But
make it a bigger number.
Well, you know, see, that's the problem, is that the numbers here are huge. The most important thing is that when you hire somebody, when you give somebody a job, not only do you give them dignity and self-respect and they can sleep at night and they, you know, you give them back their life. But you also, because that, particularly men in our society, but increasingly women as well, but just right across the board, people define themselves by their jobs to a large extent. When people don't have jobs, I mean, it's not just economically devastating, it's psychologically and emotionally devastating, and it's devastating to families. Give them a job, even if it's a WPA kind of job, even if it's rebuilding a national forest, even if it's building federal buildings, even if it's putting a highway back together, even if it's building dams. Give them a job, and when you give them that paycheck, every dollar that you give them, when they spend it into the economy, that's going to go to some other business, and then they're going to spend it to another business, and that dollar is going to end up having a stimulative effect on the economy of $1.60, $1.70, $1.80 in net effect, which is much better than simply handing the money to people. So that's why, you know, the whole jobs thing, Bruce. I understand your idea, and a lot of people are saying, frankly, there's a viral email going around that suggests that if we took $100 billion and gave it to every working family, somehow it would work out to $100,000 a family. The math is simply wrong, and that's the problem with it. Len in New York City. Hey, Len, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. You know, you got me riled up. You got my hair standing on end, and I don't have too much of it left. But, you know, it is time. I just wrote a letter to Harry Reid. I think he really needs his mailbox inundated. I still don't understand how he managed to secure the position of leader of the Senate, given the fact that there are so many more strong voices than him. As you know, he's not the most tenured. I just don't get it. But it's time for everyone who's listening to talk to their friends to get a letter in the mail so they feel the weight, just as though Rush Limbaugh might be talking to the other side.
Yeah, and by the way, if you send a letter to Washington, D.C., it can take up to 6 weeks to get there because they've got to go through all this anthrax screening. If you send it to the local office, they'll get it that same week. If you call, and you can go to callcongress.org, and there's the toll-free numbers for Congress, and as well as the regular toll number if you want to just call that.
I think the weight of paper would really send the message. And, you know, likewise, a carbon copy to your local, to one of your or both of your senators.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Thank you very much. Robert in North Hollywood, California. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, I love your idea that wages drive the economy. So here's my idea. I haven't had a chance to calculate because I don't know the numbers. Instead of giving the $300, $400, $600 billion, the government gives that money. They pass a law which makes the minimum wage, let's say, $20, $25 an hour. So for one or two or three years, the government compensates, gives the difference from what the current minimum wage is to the $25 minimum wage to the businesses that have to pay it. The idea is that in two or three years, those businesses will have so much more business because of the people having the money in their pocket that they will be able to afford to pay the $20 per hour minimum on their own. And that way, the money goes directly to every single worker, and you would have, like my brother has a business, telemarketing, and his clientele is in a Hispanic audience, and they don't have the money. So he can't afford right now to pay that, but he could if he could survive for a year, because within a year, his clientele will have so much money that they'll be ordering stuff out the wazoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what Franklin Roosevelt did in the 1930s, and good point, Robert. I would argue with your numbers. I think that you're jumping too high too fast, and it would have a huge inflationary effect. But what Franklin Roosevelt did, although we need some inflationary effect right now because we are in a deflation, which is part of one of those depression definitions. But what Franklin Roosevelt did is he raised the minimum wage. He established a minimum wage. He raised the minimum wage, and he made it easier for people to unionize with the Wagner Act in 1935, which was partially repealed in 1947 with Taft-Hartley. We need to repeal Taft-Hartley. If we can't repeal it, we need to take a bite out of it with the Employee Free Choice Act, which repeals basically some parts of Taft-Hartley and allows people to form unions. But, yeah, absolutely. And the idea of giving employers some sort of a tax break if they pay people more, you know, I'm not totally opposed to that. I think, though, that just establishing a minimum wage and saying, hey, if you can't do business in this country in a way that helps your employees and can pay a reasonable wage, you have no business doing business in this country. It's that simple. 45 minutes past the hour.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office at this station during regular business hours.
Dear Mom and Dad, well, the Army has finally seen fit to give me some time off, so I'm writing to tell you that I'm doing fine over here. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Hey, thought you were making breakfast.
I am, with McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
How is that making breakfast?
I'm mixing and matching, you know, putting breakfast together.
We're on a budget.
They're a dollar each. You know, I can't bake warm biscuits or sizzle sausage for that.
True.
I can't put real fruit in yogurt or make crispy hash browns for a buck.
You're so right.
Make your own morning and choose from six wallet-friendly favorites on McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
This was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, well, I do have my moments.
Breakfast served during breakfast hours only.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
I'm Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. I thought that Oregon got all its electricity from hydroelectric. Well, about 60% of our electricity is hydro, but the rest comes from dirty coal plants like those in nearby Boardman and Centralia. The Boardman plant, 150 miles east of Portland, generates 20% of PGE's power. It's the largest stationary source of greenhouse gases in Oregon, contributing to acid rain in the Gorge and on Mount Hood, and impacting us from Hell's Canyon to Mount Rainier. Please help me support the Bonneville Environmental Foundation in funding green power here now with the Tom Dwyer Automotive Services Carbon Neutral Program. Use the link at tomdwyer.com, enter the promo code KPOJ, get a 50% discount, and join. Your car will be carbon neutral, you'll receive 10% off labor, and other offers that will save you over $350. If you're a current client or wanted to try us, then please check this out. I'm counting on you to help build the wind and solar power we need in Oregon today. I don't want to burn coal to power my house or my next car. Keeping our vehicles operating at their best. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, 230-2300. And please visit tomdwyer.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Nine and a half minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Talk radio for the rest of us. Bill in Long Island, New York. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Let me see if I get this straight.
According basically to Webster's, any system or condition of a society in which the means of production are owned or controlled by the state is socialism.
Right.
So arguably now, if you consider that a government job as a senator or representative is a government job, so therefore, and they make laws, so you can call that a matter of production, the next time they start complaining about Obama or about any progressive ideas, we should do is just tell them, quit your socialist job, give back your socialist paycheck, and get out of the way so the rest of the progressives who founded this country can get on with our business.
Brilliant. Very well said. You know, the obvious argument is that making laws is not, you know, essentially manufacturing. It's not production. But I love your argument, Bill. If you can't get along with the program, get out of the program. Well said. Jim in Bloomingdale, Michigan. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Yeah, this is Kalamazoo. Jim, why do the Republicans hate America?
You know, I think that they actually love America. They just have a bizarre vision of America. They want to turn America into a third world country. They, you know, if you look at those countries where there is very little government regulation, and no social safety net, they tend to be countries like Zimbabwe. You know, they tend to be.
That's what they asked us back when we were opposed to the war.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they said we hated America. We didn't hate America. I don't think that they do. But I understand your point, you know, your tongue-in-cheek.
Harry Reid needs us to all send him some No More Mr. Nice Guy hats and shirts. I was thinking that a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a little less brutal than smelling salts, but if you go to Amazon.com or probably any place else, you know, I just happen to go there and type smelling salts in, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds. I mean, it's amazing. They even have 100 packs, you know. So if the Republicans threaten 30 or 40 filibusters a day, hey, send him 100 pack. He'll be in great shape. He'll be in absolutely great shape. Jeffrey in Santa Fe, listening on KTRC. Hey, Jeffrey, or Jerry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hi, Tom. I think it's pretty obvious to people that what the Republicans are trying to do is they're trying to gut the bill and then vote against it. This way they have their cake and eat it. And in 2 years, they're betting that the economy will be in the tanks and perhaps we'll get some political traction out of it.
Yep.
It's sort of a desperate move, but they're in the minority and they don't really have that many options. The problem with their strategy is that when things are in the tanks, economy-wise, people tend to vote Democrat, and they've done that historically. However, I do think that the Democrats, we really need more Southerners, from people from the Deep South, because they were the strength of the Democratic Party in the 50s and 60s. They were superb strategists. They were not latte liberals. They knew how to do the infighting, and they were very, very practical people.
Yeah, LBJ is the classic example of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's the South used to be the strength,
The
very fiber and the backbone of the Democratic Party.
Well, it also, let's keep in mind that the reason why the South was, you know, why the Democratic Party was so powerful in the South was that it was associated with segregation.
Civil War.
Going back to the Civil War and before that, in fact. And the Democratic Party changed all that in the 60s when LBJ signed the civil rights legislation, a series of civil rights bills. And, you know, the Democrats haven't really gotten back to the South. But I think they're in the process of doing it.
I think LBJ said when he passed that civil rights, we've lost the South for the Democratic Party for a generation.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right about one thing, and that was it.
Yeah, and hopefully that's the beginning and end of it. Good point, Jerry. Thank you very much. Del in Missouri. Hey, Del, what's on your mind today?
Well, Bill, what I've looked at is why can't anyone tell the corporations that their business flaw, you know, their business system is flawed? They create products, they create wealth for the upper, but they're not creating consumers. And if they don't create consumers, they don't have anyone to buy their product.
Right. Well, the problem is that the rules of the game of business need to be defined by us and not by the very small handful of people who control most of the businesses in America. Because if they control the rules, and they have by and large since the early 1980s, since the election of Reagan, and they've been rewriting the rules, and when they control the rules and rewrite the rules, they rewrite the rules in a way that accrues more and more benefit to them and to hell with the rest of us. And over the short term, they got very rich, and we were still coasting on the benefits of the New Deal. But now the bill is coming due.
And the bill is coming due just like it did in the 20s after three consecutive Republican administrations rolled back regulations and dropped taxes on the rich in the 1920s. It led to the Republican Great Depression of the 1930s. And once again, we're seeing that played out all over again. You know, the two terms of George W. Bush, and before that, Clinton was sort of Republican light, and before that, of course, Reagan, you know, was as bad as it gets. He was Cal Coolidge all over again, or Warren Harding, actually. He started the process. And we just, you know, we need to say enough already. We've learned these lessons. We've learned these lessons several times in America. In fact, the Panic of 1896 was what informed the generation of the 19-teens, and it was forgotten by the 20s. So, anyhow, Kim in San Francisco, we have a minute before the break. Kim, what's up?
Okay, this is what I want to say is I don't think it's an issue of a backbone with Harry. I think it's an issue of class. If you watch C-SPAN, these are gentle ladies and gentlemen, and they treat each other civilly because they're all from the same privileged class. And, Tom, I hope later on you go into this because I'm dead serious. I'm a great, great Democrat. I've run phone banks. I've done organizing. I've done precinct work. I've done the whole thing. If they don't pass this Buy American thing in the stimulus bill, and I know that the European Union is fighting it, if they don't do this, they're losing me from this party, and it will break my heart.
Yeah, they're losing a lot of Americans, and the EU is threatening to sue us, and you know where they're going to sue us is the World Trade Organization, the easy way
the,
around
the
that.
IMF. And the
easy way around that is, no, not the IMF, the WTO. It's today's front page of today's Financial Times. And the easy way around that is for us to pull out of the WTO.
You
know, as for 7 years on this radio program, I have been advocating. And, you know, excellent point, Kim. Thank you very much. Yeah, we just need to say free trade. Come on, give me a break. You mean free trade for the transnational corporations? No thanks. We just need to say no thanks. So I want to continue talking about the economy here as we go into our second hour, and also the impact of the economy on the planet and the impact of population on the planet. Do we want government to tell us how many kids to have?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. A British bioethicist is suggesting that because the footprint, the carbon footprint of every human is, every additional human is rather substantial, we are melting the planet, we are warming the planet, we're destroying the planet, we're eating the food supply of every other life form on Earth. I mean, there's some serious problems here. The Japanese, for example, this is an article in the Financial Times last week, Japan, the headline, Japan faces up to the prospect of peak fish. They used to export fish. Now 40% of their fish are imported in Japan. They're talking about each year about 100 million tons of fish, 5% of the entire biomass of the oceans is hauled out of the oceans for human food. 5%. Now, if you pull 5% of all of something out every year and the replacement is not 5%, you got a really serious problem. The Japanese are looking at a serious problem. So anyhow, the point is that this bioethicist is making in the UK is that this is a problem of population. Times Online, the article, the headline, this Sarah Kate Templeton, the health editor, writing, two children should be the limit. Couples who have more than two children are being irresponsible by creating an unbearable burden on the environment, the government's green advisor has warned. Now, I will be the first to say I have three children, and I love them all, and I want them to stay around for a long, long time. But this guy comes out and says, I am unapologetic about asking people to connect up their own responsibility for their total environmental footprint and how they decide to procreate and how many children they think are appropriate. And it goes beyond that. I mean, he's actually calling for government action
saying that the government should be involved with this thing. He says, I think we will work our way toward a position that says having more than two children is irresponsible. It's the ghost on the table. We have all these big issues that everybody's looking at, and you never hear the P word, population. The optimum population trust, a campaign group of which this guy, his name is Porritt, is a patron, says each baby born in Britain, this is out of the UK, during his or her lifetime will burn carbon roughly equivalent to 2.5 acres of old growth oak woodland. And then they talk about population trends. We're expecting by 2050 to have 9.9 billion people. Keep in mind, when in 1800, we hit our first 1 billion people. At the time of Christ, there was 250 million people on the planet. In the year 1000, around the time of the Crusades in 1300, there were 500 million people on the planet. I don't think anybody would say the planet was lightly populated during the Crusades. And there were major civilizations in North and South America, even though the Europeans didn't know about them. Europe was overcrowded. Africa was densely populated. Australia was there. Basically, every landmass on Earth was populated, well populated by humans in the 1300s when we had 500 million people on Earth. Finally, in 1800, we hit our first 1 billion people. 165,000 years of humans being on this planet. And we hit our first 1 billion people in 1800. Our second billion didn't take 165,000 years. It took only 130 years, 1930. As we rolled into the Great Depression, the world population was only 2 billion people. Our third billion didn't take 130 years. It took only 30 years from 1930 to 1960. When John Kennedy was inaugurated, we were at 3 billion people. That's fewer than half the number of people on the planet right now, 1960. The fourth billion took only 14 years, 1974. The fifth billion took only 13 years, 1987. The sixth billion took only 11 years, 1999. And we're now on our way to the seventh billion. Too many people on the planet. So what do we do? What do we do? Should we suggest, first of all, at the level of the United States, should we say, we are providing people with a financial incentive? Russia is actually aggressively doing this right now. They're paying people the equivalent of around $15,000 to have a baby. And there are some countries that are doing this. And it seems to me, and most of them, by the way, are doing it. They're trying to spiff their own ethnic group. This usually breaks down along racial lines. But since we're a country that wasn't founded on a particular race or ethnicity, I mean, arguably we were, but at least our ideals weren't. And I think the election of President Obama proves that we're past that, or we're moving in the direction past that appropriately. Should we be saying, why are we giving people a tax break for having children? Real simple. What if we did away with the deduction on children? Why all this emphasis on having more babies? If there are fewer people now, let me finish that sentence. If there were fewer people, then as the population declined, the demand for labor would go up. Unemployment would go down and wages would go up. This is why you hear conservatives hysterical when anybody talks about population control. They're out there running around going, we can't have population control if we reduce the number of the number of people. If population starts sliding downward, that's going to be a terrible thing. If population starts going downward, then you're going to have a lot of old people and not enough young people to do the work. Well, yeah, there'll always be enough young people to do the work. The thing is, you're going to have to pay them an appropriate salary. But when they're paid an appropriate salary, then that percolates through the economy. I mean, it'll all work out. And it historically has. In fact, if you look at history, middle classes, as those of you who have been listening to this program for many years or who have read my books on economics like Screwed know, and I get into this somewhat, and into the population out of this a whole lot more in the new book I have coming out called Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture. There have been three cases in the history of the world where there was a middle class. Middle classes are not normal things. Only three.
If you look at 7,000 years of civilization, what we call civilization, Western civilization, and you can look at, and you can go back and look at Incan or Mayan or Chinese or Hindu civilizations as well. There have only been, but using European civilization in this case, or Western civilization, there have only been three times when there was a middle class. And each time it had to do with either population dropping precipitously or resources dramatically increasing. The first was right after the Black Death in Europe. In the 1300s, after the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, about a third of Europe died. Now, keep in mind, this was still back when there were only a half a billion people on the planet. But a third of Europe died off. In some countries, it was more than half. And what did that do? It dramatically increased the demand for labor in the two, three, four generations following the Black Plague. And by increasing the demand for labor, it raised the price of labor. Raising the price of labor allowed people to say, you know, I'm not going to work a 70-hour week for you anymore. I'll work a 40-hour week for you. And the result of that was that a middle class emerged. The emergence of that middle class, with people having time to write poetry and compose music and go into the arts and political philosophy and politics and philosophy in general and science and invention and take chances and become entrepreneurs, the consequence of that is a period of time we refer to as the Renaissance. It was the first middle class in 7,000 years of European history. And it brought dramatic changes. But within five generations or so, the population had grown back to the point where we were back to normal, which is when, you know, population, the supply of workers and the demand for workers equal each other, as David Ricardo wrote in 1816 in his brilliant treatise on labor. When population supply, when labor supply and labor demand are equal to each other, the wage drops to a subsistence level. It drops to the working poor. And we were back to the working poor. And then came the second time. This was the early and through the mid-1600s and into the early 1700s of a middle class. And that was the consequence of Europeans coming over to the Americas and discovering in Central and South America mind-boggling amounts of gold that they brought back to Europe. And in North America, mind-boggling amounts of wood and fur and tobacco and all kinds of things that they could export back to Europe. And so the wealth of Europe increased, even though its population didn't decline. And that, again, increased the demand for labor, which drove up the price of wages, which produced the Enlightenment. So we had the Renaissance in the 1400s and 1500s. We had the Enlightenment in the 1600s and 1700s. Both of them the consequence of this. By the 1800s, the U.S. was fairly well populated. The demand for labor was being met by people being imported into the United States. And throughout most of the 1800s in the United States, we just had the very rich and the working poor. There was very little middle class in the United States. There was functionally not a substantial middle class in the United States until Franklin Roosevelt manufactured it. The third way to make a middle class, which was changing the rules on labor. But anyhow, the argument that people make that, hey, if we have too many babies, if we have too much population, then, or if we don't have enough, rather, then it's going to be a disaster. Yeah, it'll be a disaster for the very rich because wages will go up. But I think it'll be a good thing for all of us. So should the government mandate somehow two children?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Barack Obama has chosen his top personnel. Now, what should be his top policies? Change for America is the first book with a comprehensive blueprint for President Obama to reset policy on the economy, healthcare, and foreign affairs. Edited by Air America President Mark Green, it describes a new progressive patriotism based on more democracy, diplomacy, and green-collar jobs. President Clinton calls it insightful, while Senator Kennedy concludes it's a brilliant roadmap for the 44th president. Change for America, available at bookstores everywhere.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call 1-888-635-1248.
I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. 888-635-1248. That's 888-635-1248. Call 888-635-1248.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires, your brakes, your battery, your oil and filter, your fluid levels, and your belts and hoses.
Would you check us, please?
Okay, okay. I'm on my way to the Ford dealer now for the Works Fuel Saver Pack. You'll get checked or tested or changed or rotated or filled.
Oh, filled is good.
For just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Woohoo! I love this guy!
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 331-09.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Speaking of coming back again, I gotta tell you just a very quick story apropos of this question: how do we reduce population? I'm not talking about limiting population, but we actually need to get back down to around 2-3 billion people on planet Earth, and instead we're hurtling toward 9 billion. How do we limit population and reduce it over time? Obviously through attrition. I'm not calling for euthanasia or anything like that, but Louise and I had two kids, and we figured, okay, two kids, that's enough. You know, that was kind of conventional wisdom back then. That's not quite replacement. So I went to the local, we lived in Rumney, New Hampshire. We were running the New England Salem Children's Village at the time. And it was this little town, Plymouth, this little hospital with basically one doctor and a half a dozen beds or whatever, and a little kind of one-horse town. And went in and said, I want to get a vasectomy. I want to get fixed. And so the nurse took me into the, and they did it in this operating room, with only there was just like one nurse, right? And she comes in and preps me and everything. And then she leaves, and I'm all alone, half naked on the table here. And It's silent in there. And suddenly I hear this little girl's voice come out of the ceiling yelling, Daddy! And I looked up and I heard it again, Daddy! And I'm like, what? And I sat right up and I thought, this is the weirdest, sickest joke I have ever heard in my life. You know, this guy knows I'm here for a vasectomy and he's playing some kind of audio or something. I'm looking around for the speaker in the ceiling and the door opens and the doctor walks in with a mask on his face and a scalpel in one hand and a hemostat in the other. And he says, are we ready? And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, oh, are you having an anxiety attack? And I said, are you playing funny audio through your system? I don't think the joke is funny. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, I heard that. And he said, there's no speakers in here. And so he never believed me that I actually heard that. He thought I just chickened out at the last minute. And so we go out together because, I got undressed in the same room where the doctors do because it's this little one-horse hospital. And as we're getting dressed, he's trying to make me feel better. He's going, yeah, you know, I've been a little concerned about that. I'm not sure I would have gotten a vasectomy. Fortunately, my wife got fixed, so we didn't have, you know, he's, you know, trying to make me feel okay. So anyhow, Louise and I are using conventional methods, but quite religious about conventional methods. And 3 months later, Louise gets pregnant, and a year later, our third child, God bless her, is born. And I am convinced to this day she wanted to come into the world. And so anyhow, I go back into the a few months after she's born, I go back into the hospital, make another appointment. And I'm sitting there in that same room, and the same doctor comes in, and he goes, you again? I said, no, I'm not going to check it out this time. But the question, how do we do this? You know, China has this, you know, one-child policy that they enforce with draconian measures and forced abortions and things. I would never suggest that. I do know, and history tells us, science tells us, that when people have good information about birth control and family planning, that they typically tend to have smaller families. But even more important, the most important thing, and this is something that I get into a lot in this book that I've got coming out in a couple of months called Threshold, The Crisis of Western Civilization, is that when women have equal power with men in a society, and this is the real key, when women have equal power with men in a society, then the number of children that are born into those families tends to be at or below replacement. Or in a very, very lightly populated area, it may be above replacement, but it tends to be appropriate to the environment. Whereas when women are treated like cattle, when they're functionally the property of the men, and they have no say in these things, in these matters, then they tend to produce many, many children. And, you know, there are conservatives, there's no shortage of them. I mean, you know, we've a long list of them that are knocking on the door to get on the show, for example, all the time, to come on and say, oh, the solution to the population problem is economic. All we have to do is institute the World Trade Organization all over the planet, have total free trade and you know, all this kind of stuff, and everything will be wonderful because when countries get wealthy, their population starts declining. And sure enough, when countries get wealthy, and the example of Western Europe is a good example, their populations start declining. But it's not because they're wealthy, because there are countries in the Middle East, you know, some of the oil-rich sheikdoms where people get $30,000, $40,000 a year simply for being citizens. You know, they're distributing money the same way Sarah Palin does in Alaska from the oil money. And they have 10, 11 kids because the women are treated like the property of men. There are others who say, well, the problem is that there's not enough birth control pills in the world or there's not enough birth control devices out there or information. Well, that is a problem, particularly in a lot of poor countries. There are hundreds of millions of families that want access to family planning and don't have it. And I'm not talking about abortion here. I'm talking about just, you know, plain old birth control stuff. And that is a problem. But that's not the problem. Because, again, there are countries, and the Middle East is another great example, there are countries where people have full access, without any question, no problem at all, to modern birth control techniques and technologies. And still, they have 8, 10, 12 kids. So how do we as a society say we want to reduce our carbon footprint? We want to stop destroying the planet, frankly. We're consuming about half of all the photosynthetic output of this planet, all the plants and animals on this planet. We're consuming about half of all the food, and it's putting us all at risk. How do we deal with this?
your call, man.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Helping you win the water cooler wars, Tom Hartman here with you, 34 minutes past the hour.
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed?
Oh, those white shirt piggies.
You'll find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play around
with. Yep, Barack Obama has suggested that any of these banks and firms, Wall Street firms and whatnot, who gambled with your money and mine and pension funds and everything else and lost trillions, any of them who get bailouts from the government should have their executive salaries capped at $500,000 a year, which is a hell of a lot of money no matter where you live. At least it is in my world. So here, James F. Refda, founder and managing director of James F. Refda & Associates. This is pretty draconian. $500,000 is not a lot of money, particularly if there's no bonus. Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric. If I didn't pay bonuses, these people are going to go. These people didn't choose to cure cancer. They didn't choose to do public service work. They chose to make money. Yeah, Jack, I think that's kind of the problem. And they screwed us in the process. Donald Salsheim, managing principal at Salsheim Global Advisors.
The consequences are going to be a massive brain drain of senior talent from these companies that have taken TARP money to those companies that have not.
Yeah, might be. Maybe they should just go out of business. J.P. Morgan Chase, CEO, Jamie Dimon.
Companies that need the most talented people to fix their problems won't be able to pay them.
Oh, isn't it sad? You can't find somebody to buy and sell stocks for under $500,000 a year. I'm telling you, we've got a sickness in this problem. Anyhow, and baby H makes 14. California octuplets born this week. Turns out babies A through H, these eight babies, this woman taking fertility drugs, already had six kids. And she now has 14 kids, all of them under the age of, what, two or three, something like that? I mean, this is, shall we say, charitably, this is moving in the wrong direction. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, your thoughts on this. Also, you can drop into our live chat room at TomHartman.com. You can see our free live video stream over at AirAmerica.com. Matthew in Auburn, Washington. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Great. What's up?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a suggestion for the population control. The original reason why we have incentives, for people who have children, not necessarily to incentive them to have children, but to help out families who already have children. And
right.
My suggestion would be to only give tax breaks to for the first two children, and any natural born children they have over that, they don't get any more tax breaks for that.
Yeah.
Now, this next part here can kill two birds with one stone. They can get a tax incentive for extra children if those children are adopted. There are a lot of children out there who need adoptions, a lot
That's
of
right.
unwanted children, and if people want to have more children, this would encourage them to adopt rather than having natural children, which would also help the kids who need adoption as well as the population.
Excellent suggestion, Matthew. Thank you very much. Well said. And, yes, there are a lot of children in need of adoption. We have, in Iraq, for example, created 5 million orphans in the last 6 years. And, of course, there are a lot of kids in the United States looking for adoptive families. Sherry in West Haven, Connecticut. California. West Haven, California. Hey, Sherry, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I lost my job in April, so I've been a longtime listener. I have had time to listen and think, and thank you for all the lessons.
Thank you.
Sorry to hear you lost your job. As far as the population thing, you just floored me with the last comment, so I'm kind of breathless. 5 million?
Yes, we created the numbers are in now. This you can find it online. It's pretty easy to track down. It's pretty definitive. Okay. According to the UN, 1 million people died in Iraq as a consequence of this war. 1 million civilians, non-combatants. Mm-hmm. 5 million orphans, over 2.5 million widows, and 4.5 million people displaced, about half of them out of the country. And there's a thriving prostitution and child prostitution business now in Syria and Saudi Arabia, surrounding countries that are Iraqi refugees desperately trying to just feed themselves. About 2.5 million have fled the country, and about 2 million are displaced inside the country. Yeah, and 5 million orphans.
That is...
Thank you, George
Bush. Shameful to say the least.
Yes.
As far as the population thing goes, I thought your last caller had a good point. I may even go even further. I think originally they gave incentives to have children. Maybe it started back with the thinking when we needed more for the workforce. We had manufacturing farms. They needed to populate. And now, like you said, we need to do the reverse.
Yeah.
I think a tax carbon on every child born might be a good idea because, one, it would make people think twice before they had a child. Can we afford it?
Right.
Which would be better for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, at some point we do have to pay for all of the tax carbon on the world that we do, and not just with our children, cars, everything.
Yeah, and children are using...
Cars should get weighed. How much mileage do you get? How much does it put out? Okay, you can have this car. We're not going to say you can't, but you have to pay.
So you're saying prorate a carbon tax against children as well. Children are using the resources of the commons. They're using, not as much as adults, but they're using all that stuff. Tax the kids. Okay, Sherry, thank you for your vote on that. An interesting point. John in Santa Rosa. Hey, John.
Hey, Tom. Back in the late 60s, I had a summer internship job in Washington on Capitol Hill. Part of my job was talking to congressmen, and I talked to Congressman Mo Udall, a great thinker, and he told me that overpopulation and he said population control is the most important thing. Everything else is just Band-Aids.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been thinking about that for 30 years, and I agree. I think it's the most important thing. And I just wonder why, when we have cities that are losing population, the mayors always come and talk about, oh, we need to have more growth. We're going to fall apart if we don't have more growth. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I think, we need to stop eating animals and drive fuel-efficient cars. But if we don't control the population, I just don't see what the future is. And as far as, the carbon tax and things like that and disincentives, I think it's great. But I don't know if people really think about that when they're going to have a child. Is it, an incentive, a few hundred dollars, is that going to make a difference? I don't know what the answers are, but
I don't know. Well, John, I think the main answer is to empower women in the United States and all around the world. And although in the United States, to a large extent, we have, it seems that and frankly, I think that we also need to I would love to see a movement. Thank you, John, for the call. Within the two of the world's major religions that argue that that women should have as many babies as possible, three, if you include Mormonism as a major religion, maybe those religions should rethink that. The idea that the we want to have as many babies as possible so that we can outnumber all the other religions, we don't need that anymore. We really don't need that anymore. Thank you very much. It's an old notion, from 5,000 years ago, and it arguably was useful back then when whichever tribe had the most people for the army to fight for the resources won. But we've matured beyond that, or hopefully we have. Kate in Los Angeles. Hey, Kate.
Hi. How are you, Tom?
Just fine. What's up?
So I too, like your previous caller, have been thinking for years about population control, but it's just smacks of so red China that it doesn't get a lot of traction with people.
Yep.
But it would solve, again, so many of the other problems that we're having, resource depletions and whatnot. But one of the first things we can do as a society is stop glorifying people that have this many children. There's television shows about that Mormon family that now has an 18th child on the way. There's John and Kate plus eight on, the Health Channel. There's this woman, I'm from LA, so there's this woman that now has something, whatever it was, like 17 children under the age of eight.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind. These people all get on the Today Show, they get television shows, and it's made made to be this great thing, and then everybody else sends them free stuff so that they have more kids because they have more stuff. It's yeah. ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting we should shame them, but I agree we should stop glorifying them. This is a social, if not a social ill, well, frankly, I think it's a social ill, and we might as well just be blunt about it.
And if I could just say one more quick blunt thing,
sure.
I've heard also when doctors speak to these families and they talk about how, because certainly the technology is there to use drugs to help you get pregnant, and then you have all these embryos that are fertilized, and then they can certainly, you know, dispose of some of them so that you do only have maybe twins. But I've literally heard these mothers respond, you know, oh, well, you know, that is against my religion, and God wouldn't want me to destroy these embryos. Well, you know what? God didn't want you to get pregnant if you needed to use all that fertility treatment to get pregnant. I mean,
right.
it's just
Which,
ridiculous.
By the way, is the position of the Catholic Church. You know, they're opposed to in vitro fertilization, and they're opposed to destroying the embryo. So at least they're consistent.
At least they're consistent, right.
Yeah. So at least they're consistent. Kate, thanks a lot for the call. Paula in Carbondale, Illinois. Hey, Paula. We're coming up on a break here in a second.
That was pretty funny. I have a thing that I've been talking about for years. But before that, I just wanted to say, you know, the definition of chutzpah is killing your parents and then saying you're an orphan and throwing yourself on the mercy of the court.
Right, like
Amanda's
brothers did.
To go over there and make 5 million children orphans and then go, hey, look, there's all these kids we could adopt. I don't know.
Right.
It just seems wrong to me.
Yeah.
But what I've always said is if we should pay people to be sterilized. I don't believe in population control from the top down. I believe that it should be every person's choice. But to give them a little incentive.
Yeah, why don't we give a $10,000 tax credit to anybody who gets sterilized?
Not a tax credit, an actual payout.
Well, that's a credit is where you actually get cash. It's not a tax deduction. It's you know, if you don't, you actually get the cash from the government.
You should get it right away, not when you pay your taxes. Just here, $5,000 for a woman, $3,000 for a man. You know, just pay people.
Yeah, yeah,
and
it's a good idea. Good idea, Paula.
Their choice.
And make them free and widely available. Why don't we just? We could add that to our economic stimulus. No, that it should go in separate legislation. It really should. But let's make vasectomies and whatever it's called when a woman's tubes are tied free.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Ed Schultz.
The landscape of talk in this country, in my opinion, is changing somewhat.
Noon to 3.
It's becoming, okay, what's the issue? Here's what we know. Nobody's got any money, and nobody's paying their taxes. Those are two things we know that's happening out there that we can talk about.
He's Big Eddie. The Ed Schultz Show.
Now, what side of the aisle are you on? It doesn't matter.
Noon to 3.
Look, you're either paying or you're not paying. You know, you either got money or you don't.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
In the next minute, I'm going to challenge you to believe it or leave it. How? I'm going to show you how you can get a brand new top brand laptop free. Just log on to freelaptopchallenge.com. Of course, a lot of you won't believe me, and I guess unfortunately you'll forget this ad and miss out. But there are listeners who'll give it a try and log on to freelaptopchallenge.com, and yes, they will be able to get a brand new laptop free. See, thousands of people have received free laptops online, and now you can too. It all works because companies got smart. Instead of blowing their budgets on expensive TV ads, they now give away stuff online. So what are you going to do? Ignore this ad? Or log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and get yourself a top brand, top quality laptop for free?
Even if you don't have access to a computer right now, this offer is available all day. So write this down, freelaptopchallenge.com. I'm telling you, it really is that easy. Who wouldn't want a free laptop? Go on, I challenge you. Log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and check out all the details. freelaptopchallenge.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com. Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Hi, I'm Andy Garcia. Shriners Hospitals for Children is dedicated to helping kids do what they otherwise couldn't. That's why their one-of-a-kind healthcare system provides pediatric specialty care to kids with orthopedic conditions, burns, spinal cord injuries, and more, at no charge. Shriners Hospitals combine their world-class care with state-of-the-art research and teaching programs, all for one purpose, improving the lives of children. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners Hospitals for Children. Helping kids defy the odds.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're going to go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all.
Nine and a half minutes before the hour, the Tom Hartman radio program, the place where progressives come to play. Well, maybe this is the craziest offering in the How to Control the Human Population. Neil Horsley is a guy who years ago, up until he had this conversation with Alan Colmes, ran the prominent Kill an Abortion Doctor website, where he put up pictures of abortion doctors and put red X's through them whenever they were assassinated. And he was the darling of that crowd until this.
You are known for your anti-abortion and anti-homosexual views. You had sex with animals?
When you grow up on a farm in Georgia, your first girlfriend is a mutant.
I'm not so sure that's so.
You didn't grow up on a farm in Georgia. Did you?
Are you suggesting that everybody who grows up on a farm in Georgia has a mule as a girlfriend?
I'm saying that it has historically been the case. You people are so far removed from the
reality. Look, I'll admit, Neil, I'm a city boy. I don't know a lot about growing up on a farm.
Well, hello. Welcome to domestic life on the farm.
But I think for you to say, there are a lot of people listening to you right, Neil, there are a lot of people listening to me right now who live on farms, are raising kids on farms, who grew up on farms, and I don't think they're dating Elsie right now. You know what I'm saying?
The fact of the matter is, don't know that in fact you experiment with anything that moves when you're growing up sexually, you're naive, and you know better than that. You know yourself. If it's warm and if it's damp and it vibrates, you might in fact have sex with it.
No, not me.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes,
no,
you
thanks.
Oh, come on. You know, I've had sex with anything that would move.
Right.
If we had a warm watermelon out in the field, I might give it a name.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ray.
And he's nervous. So, I don't think that's the solution, but anyway, 866-303-2070, our telephone number. And a tip of the hat to Alan Colmes for doing many, many years of great radio and continuing to. Timothy in Silicon Valley, California. Hey, Timothy.
Hi, Tom. I wanted to thank you for your comments earlier regarding overpopulation. I was in the car taking my wife to work, and I was stunned. To me, this is one of the most important issues facing the planet right now. Not enough people are talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it. That, I think, and hemp legalization would
solve and I'm sitting here drinking
the planet's
my hemp milk.
Problems more than anything right now.
In fact, I was telling Louise before the break, you know, playing this Alan Colmes thing, you know, I said I'm sitting here drinking a glass of hemp milk from
the
company. You know, in any case, I'm drinking this hemp milk.
Protein.
Whenever I drink it, I feel great. And
yeah.
It improves my mood. And Louise says, there's your excuse for playing Neil Horsley.
You're being replenished, you know, God's way. You
there
know?
You go.
But I wanted to point out a couple things. One, my wife and I have chosen not to have any children, zero. Oh. You know, and it's not an issue of whether we can afford to educate one or not. We feel a moral responsibility that people are bringing too many children to the world, and we're trying to do our part, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I was raised a Catholic, right? Back in the 70s, I remember the numbers were dropping like a rock, and there was this huge boost to try and bring up the numbers, you know. And I think you were asking earlier, what is the cause of all this overpopulation? And I can definitely say the Pope was a huge problem and is condemning the use of birth control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
you
that's
know?
But that's been the Catholic position for a long time, and it's largely the Muslim position, and it's implicitly the Mormon position because
it's a religious
position.
It's
I'm not sure that it's
think
the Buddhist
that they
position.
They have the God-given right to overpopulate the planet, and I applaud you for being one of the few people out there that's got a couple kids that's willing to say, hey, you know, maybe we need to take responsibility for this.
Yeah. Thank you,
that
Timothy.
That is a huge step.
Yeah, it is.
What stunned me, yeah. I swear
well,
to God,
well,
you know.
Well,
and I had to come in and call, you know, and say, wow.
Okay.
You know, if more people were willing to take responsibility like you, you know, and not like, like I said, I was raised Catholic, right?
Yeah. No,
maybe.
Timothy. Timothy, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I've got a bunch of other callers. We've only got like a couple of minutes left in this segment, and I want to get to them. But we should start a club called Fixed and Proud, right? I'm fixed and I'm proud. Bob in San Luis Obispo. Hey, Bob.
Thanks for taking my call, Tom. Basically, I agree with you about the idea of the cultures and needing to get more female-oriented in the cultures. These cultures have been patriarchal for so long. I think actually that's going to take a lot longer than it would be just to pay people not to have children. I think it's going to economically advantage them. I think even the religious issue is going to change, simply because if you think of countries that are Catholic, like Italy, you don't have a very enormous population. Why? Because they realize that economically it doesn't work for them.
Yeah,
so
Right, and because of modernity, the women have relatively equal power with men. You know, the country in the world that has the highest rate in Europe, that has the highest rate of birth control use, is Italy, oddly enough, of all places. Tom in Oceanside, half a minute here before we got to hit the break at the top of the hour, Tom.
Hey, just real quick comment. Stop giving tax discounts for more and more kids. It's a benefit to people. And also, my main argument to the religious crowd that says that, which I am religious, is in the Bible, it says, be fruitful and multiply. Is it fruitful to keep populating an overpopulated planet?
Right, to destroy it. It is anti-fruitful, as it were. It is anti-being a good steward. It is, if you believe that we have been given stewardship of this planet, if you believe that we have, as the human race, have some, because of our intellect or whatever, have some unique responsibility for this planet, whether you put it in a religious context, a philosophical context, a practical context, an intellectual context, whatever, if you think that we have some responsibility for this planet beyond our own actions, but certainly including our own actions, then this is one of the places we absolutely have to start. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, it looks like Governor Lynch, and I've said this now 3 days in a row, I'll say it again. It looks like Governor Lynch in New Hampshire is trying to pull a Blagojevich. Yes, I will appoint somebody to be the senator, but only under certain terms. Well, actually, you could argue that it's Judd Gregg who's trying to pull a Blagojevich. And I think it's wrong. I think it was a dumb move in the first place for the Obama team to even invite Judd Gregg into Commerce. This is a guy who tried to shoot down the Commerce Department. On top of that, the Associated Press is reporting today the headline, former Gregg staffer caught in corruption probe. A former congressional aide for Commerce Secretary nominee Judd Gregg has been caught up in a long-running investigation into the Washington lobbying, into a Washington lobbying scandal. By the way, somebody sent me a note the other day that I thought was worthy of sharing with you. Just a thought, just an observation. What if Blagojevich was actually nailed as a result of Justice Department investigations being led by Patrick Fitzgerald that were actually designed to catch Barack Obama before the election, just in time to throw the election to John McCain? What if that was why the whole investigation was going on, as they were looking for dirt on Obama? Fitzgerald's a Republican, after all. And, you know, they just assumed that he was corrupt because, after all, aren't all politicians corrupt? People always think that everybody else thinks like them, so the Republicans just had to assume, hey, this guy's rising through the ranks, there must be something. And so they threw out the net trying to get Obama, and they got Blagojevich instead. Just toss it out there. Anyhow, Judd Gregg, one of his aides, has already been caught, apparently, in one of these nets. A person familiar with the case confirms that staffer F in court decisions is a guy named Kevin Kuntz, who worked as legislative director in his Senate office from 2002 to 2004. And the person spoke on condition of anonymity because this case is still under investigation. I would love to see this nomination blown up. I would absolutely love to see this nomination blown up. This from Huffington Post today. This headline, this is Sam Stein's blog. Senator Judd Gregg, nominated to head the Commerce Department in the Obama White House, delivered a double blow to the prospects of a stimulus bill passing the Senate when he let it be known on Wednesday, that would be today, that while he generally supported the measure, he did not vote on its passage. I have recused myself from voting during the pendency of my nomination, Gregg, a New Hampshire Republican, told CNBC. Yes, he's going to be an enthusiastic supporter of the Obama team. He's already started out kicking them in the shins. So maybe this scandal in his office, I don't know why anybody is not, you know, why more people are not pointing out the, you know, as I said, I have pointed this out every day since this thing was first publicized. And I know a couple of people in the blogosphere, there's a few progressives out there who have picked this up. And I'm not saying it originated with me. It just makes sense. It's the logical conclusion you jump to. You know, if Blagojevich's crime that was worthy of impeaching him was that he was trying to do a quid pro quo on a Senate seat. And his defense was, well, yeah, it was a quid pro quo, but it didn't involve money. It wasn't criminal. But everybody said, and the Senate says, okay, we have no evidence. Senate in Illinois says, we have no evidence that this was actually a crime. We're going to throw you out because an impeachment is not a criminal process. It is a political process. And we think that the politics of what you did, forget the crime part of it, because we're not going to call those witnesses. We think the politics of what you did was despicable. Appointing somebody to the U.S. Senate as, you know, with a deal behind it. And that's exactly what's happening now with the governor of New Hampshire saying that he's going to appoint a Republican to replace Judd Gregg when he's a Democrat. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, despicable. It's wrong. So anyhow, that a few of the other just kind of hitting the highlights of the news of the day, as it were. There's a whole bunch of things going on. President Obama, of course, last night famously said he screwed up. This has been on all the networks and all the newscasts. Isn't it great? Seriously, isn't it great to have a president who can actually say that he made a mistake? I think, you know, George W. Bush had probably been slapped upside the head so hard so many times by his mother Barbara when he made mistakes as a kid, and he was probably a hyperactive, impulsive little kid who was getting into trouble all the time, that he was constitutionally incapable of acknowledging error. And all the more the tragedy of the United States. Karl Rove, by the way, gave a speech last night at Loyola Marymount University in California. One man loudly denounced him as a traitor. Another, a woman held up a pair of handcuffs and said she'd like to see Rove wearing them. Yeah, me too. Larry Summers says he's been prepared to walk a mile for bipartisan support. This is Obama's chief advisor, Larry Summers. I don't think they should. I think they should simply say, you know, we're the majority party now. And if you guys want a filibuster, have at it. Let's have a real filibuster. Let's do it the right way. Laura in Miami. Hey, Laura, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? No, I definitely an unenviable position that President Obama has right now, but it is a good thing to see somebody that can actually speak and own up to his mistakes. But I wanted to make a comment about what the overpopulation conversation that that you guys were having.
Right.
I definitely don't. I don't think that carbon tax is going to be the solution. I don't even think it would ever happen. I think it would create division in our country more so than what there is right now. And one of the things that I've been thinking about with this topic, I read a book, Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. Have you read it?
I have read it. In fact, I know Dan Quinn. He has written blurbs for, he wrote a nice blurb for my book, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, and I wrote a blurb for his last book. He's a great guy. Ishmael, My Ishmael, The Story of B. He's written some brilliant things.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. And what he says, I've read all three of them. And what he says is we don't need laws and we don't need people telling us what to do anymore. We need and we don't even need a movement. I think what he was saying was we just need the information. And if we, you know, from a grassroots movement can maybe get the information out of, you know, the risk of overpopulation, how can we live a less is more mentality? And it is out there, but I think the solution is getting it out there more and more and more and more, you know, to people that don't even have access to the information just because they don't know, you know.
Waking people up, yeah. And Dan Quinn's worldview is basically animist, which is that, you know, everything in the world is sacred, not just all life, everything. It's all of creation is sacred, and that's something that, you know, is at the foundation of all of the world's religions and yet has been stripped out by most of the world's religious institutions, and all the more the tragedy. Laura, well said. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Ben in Arlington, Virginia. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Tom. I just want to say I'm totally in agreement with you on the importance of the overpopulation issue, and just wanted to share with you the funniest line I have ever heard on talk radio, going back to the mid-60s, late night. There was Long John Neville was one of the pioneers, and he had a conversation on the topic, and somebody was mentioning that in India, in the villages, they were giving transistor radios to any man who was willing to have a vasectomy. And Long John's response was, I wonder what you've got to do to get a color television set. So, love the show. Just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you very much. That's a good one. Appreciate it. Thank you, Ron. Greg in Margate, Florida. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Just fine. What's up?
I have a great idea to stimulate the economy for the people.
Yeah.
It'll only take me 30 seconds to tell you.
Okay.
I say let's suspend payroll taxes for 6 months, and I'm going to tell you how I pay for it, because that costs a lot of money to suspend that federal withholding. I'm going to pay for it by effective immediately in 2009. The FICA cap is at 250. So all those guys that keep that 7.65 after they make 250,000, well, they'll have to live this year without that 765. People who make 60, 70, 80, 90 grand live with paying the 765 all the time.
No, Greg, your point is well made. And in fact, Larry Summers, it wasn't Larry Summers. It was the other guy, the guy who was the financial advisor to Bush. Anyhow, he was on The Daily Show the night before last, and he was pushing this on Jon Stewart. And I don't think Jon realized that what he was pushing was actually, you know, let's suspend the FICA tax, the Social Security tax, for a year. And then Jon said, well, what about raising the cap? And he did a whole dance around it. The reason why conservatives are saying let's suspend the FICA tax is because they want to destroy Social Security. They want to cut off the supply of money to Social Security. We need to simply do away with the cap on the FICA tax, on the Social Security tax, so that Bill Gates is paying the same Social Security tax that you and I are, and the exact same amount. I mean, it's that straightforward. And you know, so because right now somebody makes a couple hundred thousand bucks a year, they're paying no Social Security tax on everything over the first more or less $100,000. If they make $1 million, all these guys on Wall Street, they're paying no Social Security tax after the first $100,000. That's wrong. And then you guys like Steve Forbes running around going, flat tax, flat tax, flat tax. Okay, let's make FICA a flat tax. No ceiling. It'll solve the Social Security problem.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
A big name in anti-aging right now is Dr. Arthur Perry. He's been all over TV. He's heard on the radio. He has a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue. Here's the twist. Dr. Perry is a plastic surgeon, but he likes to have his patients try a cream called Night Skin before they go schedule their surgical procedures. Night Skin goes on while you sleep. It supports natural collagen and elastin production. So when you use Night Skin, it reduces the appearance of your fine lines. It makes your skin smoother. It even fades away those unwanted brown spots that come with age. Dr. Perry says many of his patients call off their surgery appointments after using Night Skin because they're that happy with the results they see in the mirror. Now, Dr. Perry's Night Skin is available for anyone to get risk-free. Dial 1-800-491-8335. That's 1-800-491-8335. Call right away for your risk-free trial of Night Skin, the anti-aging cream. Dial 1-800-491-8335. That's 1-800-491-8335.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
If you need dental work, but you just can't bring yourself to go, Dr. Floyd Cash can relate. As a child, he had a bad experience at the dentist and didn't want to go back.
I was worried about going a whole week ahead of time, and I couldn't sleep the night before, and the more I went, the worse it got.
Dr. Cash runs Sleep Dentistry of Portland, dedicated to helping people who have trouble going to the dentist. From oral sedation to IV sedation or even general anesthesia, Sleep Dentistry of Portland offers the dental work you need in a gentle, non-judgmental atmosphere.
That's what I've been doing since the first day I opened. I've tried to be the gentle dentist, mainly because I knew what had bothered me, so I was trying not to create that in anybody else.
Your introductory appointment is just $1, including full examination, any necessary x-rays, and consultation. Get the details at sleepdentistryofportland.com or call 503-405-7686. Sleep Dentistry of Portland.
Anything good in the newspaper?
I'm looking at these TVs on sale. The 32-inch Sony and Samsung flat screens are down to $649. That looks like a pretty good deal.
Those are good TVs, but if you go buy one, you'll be sorry.
Why?
Because Video only has the 32-inch TVs for $549.
That's $100 less.
And they've even got 37-inch TVs for $599.
37-inch TVs for less than the 32-inch TVs at the other stores?
If you go to Video only.
Are those brand new in a box?
Yep.
How do they do that?
TVs are their only business, so they've got to get it right.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem. Video only.
Now recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuart Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
welcome stranger. Come on in.
Come on in. It is 21 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program. Welcome to the No Boring Zone. Larry Scott on the line with us. He's the founder and editor of the VAWatchdog.org, the premier veterans website out there on the internets, VAWatchdog.org. And Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you again, keeping an eye on the VA because somebody has to.
That's right, and a fine slogan it is, a fine slogan it is. Larry, you and I have speculated many times on Tammy Duckworth having some role in Veterans Affairs in this administration. Looks like it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. The White House has announced officially that Tammy Duckworth will be nominated for an assistant secretary slot. It's the Assistant Secretary of Public and Intergovernmental Affairs. One of those titles is very hard to fit on a business card, but, you know, like most government agencies. But this is really important. Tammy Duckworth is going to be in charge of basically all public affairs, dealings with the press and the media for the VA, and also in charge of homeless veterans programs as well. But this is going to be really interesting because Tammy Duckworth is somewhat of a media star. She has wonderful relationships with radio, television, print people, and now she's going to be the person who will be the front person for the VA when dealing with the media. This also means the people in Washington and the Public Affairs Office might start taking my phone calls.
Yeah, it means that they're going to have to answer to her, and yeah, and the people that she knows and has friends with. That's great. That's great.
It's just a thought, but it'd be nice to get a phone call through and a question answered occasionally.
There you go. Well, it ain't the Bush administration anymore, so I think that there's going to be a lot of positive action. The VA, speaking of positive action, has settled a class action lawsuit over that 2006 laptop theft where a lot of vets had to go out and buy protection for their identity theft concerns.
This is really a good news story all the way around, Tom. I'm sure your listeners will remember 2006. Laptop was stolen from a VA employee. It contained the personal information of 26 million veterans and active duty members. About 5 weeks later, the laptop was recovered, and it was what it appeared to be. It was a laptop theft, not a data theft. No data was compromised. No IDs were stolen. But in that period of time, a lot of veterans went into a panic, went out and purchased, you know, the protection, the credit protection, ID theft protection, so they were out of pocket. This class action lawsuit, headed up by a great attorney by the name of Doug Rosinski, finally got a settlement here a few days ago with the VA. It's $20 million. We're going to have forms up on VAWatchdog.org here shortly that any veteran who was out of pocket because of this laptop theft will be able to fill out a form and get their money reimbursed through the settlement in this lawsuit. And Doug Rosinski told me he doesn't feel that it's going to take $20 million to do that. So the deal with the VA is any leftover funds go to two veterans' charities, the Wounded Warrior Intrepid Fund and also the Fisher House Fund. So it's win-win-win. The VA did the right thing. Veterans get reimbursed. Two great veterans' charities are going to get some much-needed income.
That's great. And now some right-wingers have produced a fairly virulent trying to go viral, apparently it has, email campaign, I understand, suggesting, in all these conservative email lists that Barack Obama is going to cut veterans' benefits?
This is really a sad story, and this kind of happens, you know, whenever you have an administration change. Somebody's going to start something like this, and there are emails floating around a lot of veterans' groups that there's an Obama plan to cut veterans' benefits. And I'd just like to say, there is no plan to cut veterans' benefits. All you have to do is go to the White House website, and he'll tell you what he wants to do for veterans, increase spending, bring more veterans into the system, and so forth. But this viral email, and it has gone viral, talks about an Obama plan, and it talks about a Congressional Budget Office, CBO report, that Obama had done. Well, all we have to do is look at the report. The report was put together in the last 6 months of the Bush administration, so it has nothing to do with Obama, and it also has nothing to do with George Bush, because the CBO is a nonpartisan arm of Congress that analyzes all things budgetary.
Right.
So what they do, and they issue these reports all the time. So the report, and this one's about health care, and it says, if we do this, we can save money. If we do this, we can increase revenue. Or if we do this, there's no budget impact. The report is called Options, because that's all it is. Generally, these reports get looked at by members of Congress. They get disregarded. Congress does what it wants to do. And when it comes to veterans' benefits, especially veterans' health care, they are not interested in increasing fees, increasing copays, putting any further burden on America's veterans. As a matter of fact, they want to increase health care benefits all the way around. So this is just a terrible...
It's the opposite of it.
Well, it's a disgusting scare tactic. There is no Obama plan to cut veterans' benefits, period.
Well, given, you know, Dick Cheney coming out today saying, you know, we're going to be hit if we roll back the stuff we've been doing. I mean, disgusting scare tactics. You look them up in the dictionary and there's a picture of, you know, a Republican, a generic Republican. we have just 15 seconds or so. Filner is jumping on the bailout bandwagon. What's this?
Well, this is kind of good and bad. Suddenly everybody in Congress wants bailout money for the VA, about $4 billion now. While it's good that the VA could get money, especially for their infrastructure, their older buildings, it's bad news because these are the people that should have passed the budget in the first place.
Right.
So now they're looking for bailout money.
There you go. Okay. Right. Larry Scott, VAWatchdog.org, the website, and check it out. It's one of the finest veterans' websites in the world. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you again, Tom.
We'll be back with your calls at 866-303-2270. More news of the day right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
It's Viagra for your brain, the Tom Hartman Program, 34 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, and time for our grumpy alert. Yesterday, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, he's got a book out. He's doing book tour. He's in West Palm Beach, Florida. And a 20-year-old Florida Atlantic University political science major, Sarah Jack, asks him this question. She says, you know, the Supreme Court will not allow its proceedings to be televised because they say it's undistinguished, right? So she says, does the Supreme Court's opposition to having its proceedings televised, is that vitiated by, among other things, in other words, softened or objected to or whatever, by, among other things, Supreme Court justices going out on book tours? And the whole crowd was laughing and applauding, but Scalia says, that's a nasty, impolite question, and moves on. So our grumpy old man alert for the day. 866-303-2270 is our telephone number. And Nathaniel in East Hampton, Massachusetts, listening on WHMP. Hey, Nathaniel, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Just fine.
I'm calling in. My sister loved your book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. She's given it to me, required me to read it. So I'm about to delve into it in the next couple weeks. I'm really excited for it. A caller also commented on Daniel Quinn's Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
Which is a friend also gave that to me fairly recently to read. So I've got quite a list of books I need to get going on. But anyway, to comment on population control, callers in have said things about how, and I believe you commented on as well, you know, God, whoever he may be, you know, passed on the earth as to human beings to be the guardians, the protectors of the planet. Now, looking at what Darwin has said, you know, whether you believe in his studies or not, survival of the fittest is how species survive in nature. Would that not be a way that we could kind of judge our own species and see forward its our own reproduction?
It's a slippery slope, Nathaniel. The
For
eugenics
sure.
movement in the late 1800s that started
weak.
Eugenics, E-U-G-E-N-I-C-S, it's purifying the human race. It's improving the human race through selective breeding. And
okay.
it came out of the arguably the work of Darwin, Sir Francis Galton, Darwin's cousin, as I recall, The Economist, was a promoter of it. There were others who were early promoters of it. It's probably a good page on the Wikipedia about it. But it came to the United States in the early 19-teens. And by the 1920s, it was a major movement in the United States. It was used as the rationale to sterilize hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, of Native Americans. It was used because they were, quote, inferior people. It was used to sterilize people who were in mental institutions whose, crime might have been that they were women trapped in terrible marriages or whatever. I mean, it was certainly used to sterilize people who were born with birth defects or who were mentally retarded. And we had posters. I mean, there was an active campaign for eugenics in the United States, and those posters were actually used by Hitler in the 1930s in Germany, the American posters, to promote his eugenics program, which of course was kill off the gypsies, kill off the Jews, kill off the, right. You know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just a very dangerous road to go down. And beyond that, there's a question of, you know, what is the fittest? I mean, Albert Einstein, I guarantee you, would lose a wrestling match, with Hulk Hogan. Which of those two guys, though, is better for the human race to live to a ripe old age and produce for society? So I think that if we even begin to have that conversation, we need to completely redefine our terms. But it's not a conversation that I think it's healthy for us to have. Although to a certain extent, there is some survival of the fittest going on. The other dimension of it, thank you for bringing up the issue, Nathaniel. The other dimension of it is John Calvin. You know, John Calvin back in the, as I recall, the 1600s, preacher in the UK who founded what is today the Calvinist Church. His notion was that God has blessed some people specifically and others are not blessed. And or you could take it to the Mormon notion, which was that being black was carrying the mark of Cain. This was official Mormon policy up until about 20 years ago. And in other words, you were unblessed. But Calvin's notion was that you were blessed and that the proof of that blessing of those few who were blessed and therefore should be the ones in power was that you were rich. Rich people are obviously the ones blessed by God because God allowed them to be rich, and therefore we should put them in charge of the world. And I don't think that has worked out all that well either. Lauren in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Lauren. What's up?
Hey. Well, I wanted to ask why you think Obama chose this man for Commerce Secretary, because to me, I heard something about how he was anti-labor, and that just sounds really bad to me.
Yeah, I think Judd Gregg is a horrible choice. I lived in New Hampshire for 5 years back in the late 70s and early 80s. Judd Gregg was not a major political figure then, but I've tracked New Hampshire politics ever since then, up until last year, continuously for 30 years. I was on the board of directors of two New Hampshire charities, New Hampshire-based charities, the Salem Children's Village and the Hunter School, salemchildrensvillage.org and hunterschool.org. Great places to make donations to if you're inclined. And so, you know, I have some familiarity with the guy, and yeah, he's a right-wing Republican. He's not anywhere near as toxic as John Sununu and his son John Sununu and many of the old line, you know, the hardcore New Hampshire Republicans, but he's a right-wing Republican. And I think that Obama picked him. I thought he was being too cute by half. I think he picked him thinking that because there's a Democratic governor in that state, that Democratic governor would put in a Democratic replacement, and he would then have 60 votes in the Senate, assuming Al Franken gets seated, and he would have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. And instead, Judd Gregg and the governor of New Hampshire did, you know, cut this Blagojevich kind of deal where Judd Gregg's former chief of staff, I guess it is, a Republican, is going to take his place, and she's going to, you know, serve out that term for the next 2 years essentially as a placeholder, but, you know, a Republican placeholder will caucus with the Republicans, and I think it's just wrong. I think that the Obama camp made a terrible mistake in this regard. And there is talk about this scandal involving Judd Gregg's, one of his assistants, and there should be, frankly, I think, an outcry from all of us about this, this is a guy who should not be in the cabinet, in my opinion. Alan in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Hey, Tom. This morning they held a military, the Armed Services Committee held a hearing on force protection,
mm-hmm.
and in that, talking about force protection, okay, we're going to need more MRAPs for Afghanistan.
What's an MRAP?
MRAP is that armored vehicle that they used in Iraq. That
the thing that they replaced Humvees with that can withstand
right,
a blast
exactly.
from the side of the road? Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Okay, the company that does it does about 80 of them a month. Mm-hmm. Okay, here in St. Louis, we closed the Chrysler truck factory here that could produce those. They could produce 80 of them in an hour.
Wow.
And why we couldn't crank up this plant here to make these for the military so they have plenty of them, because, you know, if we ramp up the war in Afghanistan, IEDs are going to be ramped up too.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to need this kind of stuff instead of the Humvees.
Yep.
And
I have been saying, by the way, from day one that Afghanistan, if Obama continues what he's talking about doing, Afghanistan is going to be his Vietnam, and it's going to be
absolutely.
Another disaster for the United States. So,
but I contacted Jim Webb's office and Claire McCaskill's office, too, mm-hmm. and suggested that take it away from this no-bid contract company that Bush gave it to and give it to, like, Chrysler and let them do it, and the factory workers here would put these things together.
Yep.
And we have all the MRAPs we need for over there, because this is what's going to save the lives of the troops over there when they get
yeah,
over.
Yeah, it's a reasonable step if they're going to follow that path. Alan, thank you very much for that. Marty in New Hampshire. Hey, Marty.
Hey there. Hey, I'm a constituent living in New Hampshire of Senator Gregg's.
Mm-hmm.
And I call my representatives from time to time, and I imagine someone on the other end of the phone writing down my comment on a form. So I actually went to Washington. And I visited their offices just to say, you know, hi to the folks that work there. It's a pretty neat thing to do that, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I go to Greg's office and say hi to the guy. And I said, hey, can I have one of those forms that you write a comment on? And I'll just leave whatever the thought was I had that day, and then they'll say you goodbye. So they give me the stack of forms, and I'm filling out name, address. And then to the right of that, it says VIP, yes or no. And this was not on Sununu's form. This was not on Charlie Bass's form at the time. And I just thought, no, I understand he wants to know if the president calls and not Marty from New Hampshire.
Right.
But what a cold splash of water in the face that was.
Did you ask him what they meant by VIP?
Pardon?
Did you ask him what it meant? That would have been an interesting answer.
No,
you know.
I didn't. But I was so floored that I went back this year and
yeah.
did the same thing. And snuck one of the forms home just to have it. I have
yeah.
it in my hand right now.
Amazing, amazing.
So what's your
sense? We have just a half a minute here, Marty. What's your sense of Judd Gregg as a senator and a commerce secretary?
I'm not in favor of him just because he didn't speak up against torture, against lying us into the war, against any of that. He's just been a Bush flunky every step of the way. And just for those reasons, I don't want any part of him.
Yeah, I'm largely and broadly absolutely inclined to agree with you. Marty, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening to us there in New Hampshire. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program here. Talk radio for the sane among us. And speaking of the sane, Lord willing and the news gods smiling, Ellen Ratner will be with us, or somebody from the Talk Radio News Service, after the break to fill us in on what's the late-breaking news of the day. Maybe we'll pick up some more calls, too.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Biting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
He's an outsider.
This is a demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings, 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KVOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Ma'am, I need you to slow down and tell me exactly what you saw.
Okay, officer. Well, he had these crazy huge eyes, and they just stared at me.
Uh-huh. About how tall?
About 3 inches high, 6 inches wide. I think he was made of money, and he just stared.
Ma'am, that was the money you could be saving with Geico.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear this music when you saw him?
Yes!
Have a good day, ma'am.
Geico. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Geico is not just some insurance company. They are the insurance company that covers all your car insurance needs. And Geico is not a new upstart company either. They've been around for over 70 years. Geico also isn't relying on just its heritage. Standard & Poor's has consistently awarded Geico a AAA rating for financial strength. And Geico is not bragging. Yeah, all right, maybe a little.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Remember that time on Friends when Joey finally got a steady job on a soap opera? To celebrate, he surprised Chandler with a pair of leather recliners set right in front of their big screen TV. Chandler's reaction? Sweet mother of all that is good and pure. Do your chairs excite you that much? They will if you shop at a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. Because unlike those vintage TV chairs, today's Lazy Boy recliners come in over 70 uniquely designed and ridiculously comfortable styles, from cool contemporary to cozy traditional looks. Unlike cheap imitations, Lazy Boy recliners are built to last, with patented designs for full body and lumbar support. Experience all that is good and pure at a Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery. 6 stores in Portland and Salem, online at lazyboyportland.com. Lazy Boy, you're home now. Put your feet up.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Hey, Ellen.
I was at the White House today listening to the briefing, which I'm going to talk to you about, when the Madoff hearings were going on. Harry Markolopoulos, it's a Greek name, but anyhow, he was essentially a traitor. He notified the Security and Exchange Commission 29 red flags, he said, on the Madoff situation. The SEC said today in the hearing that they did not respond to them because they were tips, and only 4% of the claims of fraud made to the SEC are based on hard evidence.
So the SEC was told about Madoff
29 times by this one guy.
And they ignored it because it was a tip. What am I missing here? Isn't the SEC a regulatory agency? Shouldn't regulatory agencies, if they get a tip that a crime is being committed, investigate it?
You know something? I think the IRS has a program where if you tip them off, you get 10% of the take.
Yeah, they actually pay for tips.
Right. So why does the IRS operate differently than the SEC?
Well, you know, we have to keep in mind, Ellen, that this was during the Bush years.
Right.
So.
That's very true. In any case, there is there were hearings pretty much all day today, and from what I hear from our staffer that was at the hearings, it was like one of the most fun hearings that's been sad but fun because people just like their mouths were open from.
Yeah.
Then today there was a background briefing at the White House about the rules that are going to happen under this new operation. And basically the administration officials, and I'm not allowed to give their names, said that this is absolutely critical in terms of what they're doing with these things. However, they are not retroactive. So in other words, for companies that have already gotten TARP money and other money and what they call exceptional assistance, that means there is a right. individual agreement written to that particular company like AIG.
Right. Those companies can continue to party.
Unless they get new money. Exactly.
Right.
And what they're doing is that a CEO is limited to $500,000 a year. They can get more stock, restricted stock, after the government has been paid back and if it has been awarded by the board. And also, it allows shareholders to have a non-binding vote, and it must be put to a non-binding resolution whether these executives will get it. Originally, it was the first top five executives. Now it's the next 20 executives. And then also these other executives are going to be required to essentially sign on the bottom line that they represent that the financial part of the company that they represent is being honest, you know, that it's a fair representation.
Yeah, I think it's just crazy that we live in a society where teachers who hold the future of our civilization in their hands every single day and work their butts off are paid, a pittance. And somebody who is producing absolutely nothing of value, they're simply moving money around. They're representing the interests of people who want to make money off money, that those people are making millions of dollars, and they're arguing that $500,000 a year is not enough.
Well,
it just seems
so then
obscene
I
to me.
The question that they were kind of unprepared for. I had been tipped off by our Ireland station, and you know the two people from there. They were with us at the
mm-hmm.
inauguration, and
yeah.
they said to me that the Prime Minister is making the same kind of provisions. They're saying, look, money is not going to be allowed to be fungible. You're not going to be allowed to sort of move it from one place to another and get around these rules. I said, well, have you been talking to international, and have you been talking about it? Will it be fungible with multinationals? So in other words, maybe this division pays this guy money from a foreign land.
Oh, geez.
I didn't really get an answer to that.
Yeah. Well, of course they'll do that. I mean, that's how they do their taxes. A quarter of all U.S. tax obligations, you know, what is estimated to be U.S. tax obligations from corporations are not being paid right now because those corporations have offshore tax shelters.
Right. They also say this will not be retroactive. Apparently, they've already invested in 360 institutions that they've made investments in. They said there are many more in the pipeline. And they say it's contractual, so it does not need legislation.
Jeez.
Pretty interesting on that front. They also said that they are relying on the shame and the fact that any major spending has to be put up on the website.
They'll just do it by the back door. You know, they'll just do it with things like stock options.
Well, according to this law, according to this, they cannot give those stock options without putting it on the website and without going to a non-binding resolution.
Oh, well, that's a good step. That's a good step. Obama is – this is so much better than George Bush. I am so relieved. At least it's a good beginning. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much, Ellen, for that information.
Thank you.
Great talking with you today, as always. And tomorrow, Doug Feith is going to be here with us, the former Undersecretary of Defense for George W. Bush, and Matt Miller, the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, few contrasting views on the world, shall we say. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. It all starts when you and I, when we all, each one of us individually, gets involved. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.